pleases the Lord to bring us together again, and I'm grateful to him for this opportunity to share his word. And the scripture has just been read, and it's Matthew 21, the verse 12 to 17, and the title was Jesus at the Temple. And I'll plead with you to note the following. The temple had been there for some time, and it was built for a purpose, and there was unrighteous acts or activities going in that building or that temple for some time until Jesus entered it. And thank God today is Palm Sunday, and the focus is on Jesus as he is riding. It has passed, but I'm using the present tense for you to have that picture of Jesus on the donkey entering Jerusalem. So the focus will be on Jesus. And this Bible verse, in my perspective, fits into it so that our focus will be on Jesus' action in the temple. For this reason, I titled the sermon, Cleansing at the Temple. Cleansing at the Temple. I would like to have a short prayer before then. Father, we thank you. More and much prayers make the things better. We yield our members to you. We open our heart to hear you. Open the eyes of our heart that we may withhold wondrous things out of your law. That by the time we leave here, we will understand you better and know you better so as to draw closer to you. Spirit of the living God, I am but a man. May your children not hear the voice of a man, but your voice. Speak through me. Give me words and grant me utterance. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, someone may take this topic in a different perspective, but I'm taking it in the direction as the Lord has laid upon my heart. And what I would like us to look at is, what do we mean when we say cleansing? What do we mean? Who is Jesus? What can we learn from Jesus' action in the temple or at the temple? Why was Jesus able to do all these things in the temple? And which temple are we talking about today? And I will finish up by taxing myself to answer. When did change happen at the temple? So, what do we mean by cleansing? Who is Jesus? How can we learn from Jesus' action? Why was Jesus able to act this way? Which temple are we talking about today as you and I listen and share? And when did change occur in the temple? Cleansing means getting rid of filth or unpleasant situation. Things that does not glorify God. And it is also things that defiles. When we ask who is Jesus, he is the Savior. See him as a rescuer, someone in a situation, a problem, and then another coming to rescue him. So Jesus is a rescuer. He's a Savior, he's a rescuer. And above all, the true and only Son of God the Father, through whom all things are created. And what lesson can we draw from what Jesus did? Jesus demonstrated his authority over everything. To be honest, only people who have some sort of power, strength, and authority can do what he did. You can't just enter a place and throw off everything if you have no authority, because you'll be questioned. People wouldn't understand you. But this is what Jesus did. He entered the temple and threw things that the people were trading with, because he has authority over all of the things there. Another thing you could notice there is that he exerted the power that God has given him. He is the Son of God, vested with power. But you see him moving if no action has taken place. Not until he exerted that force or that power, you will see him, that God's power is in him or is at work in him. So in John chapter 5, the verse 27, which I will quickly read. And he has given him authority to judge because he is the Son of God. So only Jesus has the power. May I say the audacity to judge all human beings, no matter whoever you are on earth. This is why when he entered the temple, he judged the situation by looking at it, seeing that things that are going on or were going on in the temple defiles the place. There were things that were unpleasant. So we judge them, because he is the Son of God, in whom there is an authority. Why was Jesus able to do this? He was able to do this because he was, or he is, righteous. And righteous activities were going on in the temple. Then it can take only he who is righteous to correct it. So Jesus entering the temple and throwing things off means that because he is righteous. In Proverbs chapter 28, the verse 1, the Bible says that the wicked will flee when no one chases him. But for the righteous, he will be bold as a lion. So Jesus, you can see the boldness with which he acted in the temple. Probably, other people might have seen things going in the temple and they might have disliked it, but because they were part and parcel of it, or were condoning and conniving with it, so that boldness cannot come. What I mean by saying is that people who could have done it, they were partially righteous, partially unrighteous. Then how can they rebuke people who are trading in that situation? So the boldness wouldn't be there. But Jesus, because he's righteous, he took the right step in the right direction. And only a sinless person can correct evil, because he was without sin. So the evil, the atrocity, and the filth that was going on in the temple, because he did not have any of such thing in him, there is not even an iota of sin in him. This is why he is able to confront evil. Number 3, because he was wrapped in the zeal that the Father has given him. Jesus was full of zeal for the Father's work and property. All of us sitting here, we have fathers. Imagine you are sitting down and then your father's building is on fire. I believe even though you don't work with the fire service department or whatever, you take a step in the right direction so as to quench that fire. Either you dial the fire service, or you get something doing. You get some sand or something, water, whatever, try to throw into the fire. That is the zeal. That will happen because the zeal that is in you is causing you to take an action. So Jesus, being wrapped in that zeal, moved to destroy or to change the situation that was going in the temple. That is Isaiah 59, verse 17. And Jesus acted in such a way in this situation because he knew God's purpose for the temple. No one does anything for nothing. This building has a purpose. It was built for a purpose. So in the chapter that we read, the passage that we read, Matthew 21, the verse 13 states clearly that that place was meant as a house of prayer. Therefore, any other thing going on there is contradicting the purpose for which the place was built. This is why Jesus was able to do what he did. Now, which temple are we talking about today? Three distinct pictures or images or metaphor. If you want to understand spiritual growth or understand your Bible well, three distinct pictures, images, or metaphor can be found that will give you a better understanding of the Word of God. Number one, a building. Number two, a tree. Another is the human body. Time will not allow me to break them down for your better understanding. But as you read the scripture for your study, look for these things because the scripture uses them to teach and it will give you a better understanding and clarity of the Word of God. And when we look at these things, in John chapter 2, the verse 19, Jesus Christ himself referred to his body as the temple. He told them that I will destroy this temple and I will raise it up in 3 days. And the scripture says he was referring to his body. But the people who didn't know, who didn't understand him, thought that they were talking about a chapel which they have built many years. So not the windows, not the doors, not this building, but our body. And in 1 Corinthians 6:19, our body is the temple of God. Bible refers to our body as a temple of God. And in 1 Corinthians 3:16, the Bible calls us God's temple. So know ye not that as you sit here, you are God's temple. As we sit here as individual, the Bible is referring to each and every one of us as the temple of God, not the building in which we are today. Because the Bible calls us God's temple and our body is his temple. Therefore, I say, the temple we are referring to today is anyone who have faith in Christ and profess Jesus as Lord and Savior and invite Christ to come and dwell in you. In Revelation chapter 3 verse 20, the Bible says, Jesus stand at the door of your heart knocking. So the day you invite him in, he takes whole possession of your body and the whole being of you become his place, his dwelling place. So our body is actually the bedroom of the Spirit of God. That is the temple of God. And from that perspective, we ought no longer to live for ourselves. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20 says that we have been crucified with Christ, yet we live, but not us. But Christ lives in us. The life we now live, we live by the faith in the Son of God who loved us and gave himself for us. So the day you surrender to Christ, your body from head to toe becomes that temple of God. And God knows every part of you, including your hair. Matthew chapter 10 verse 30 says that, for you, the very hairs of your hair are all numbered. So today, I am not talking about the temple we are sitting where Jesus will come in, but our individual body. And Romans 6:16, it said, to whom we yield our members to, that person's slave we are. So whenever someone has not given his or her life to Christ, he is none of his. John 1:12 says, as many as receive him, to them gave him power to become the children of God. Not until the person takes a step to accept Christ, heaven doesn't see him as God's son or daughter. This means that there are many people created on earth, and I know only one third of the world's population, 7.5 billion, only one third are Christian. They have given their life to Christ. Only those one third that heaven recognizes as the children of God. And if truly we have accepted Christ and invited him in us, then our body is his temple. But there are times certain things that goes on in this body of ours which displeases heaven. Now, before we came to Christ, we had been living for ourselves. There have been all kinds of lifestyle we portray. Some people will be smoking. Some people will be living immoral life, sex without marriage. Some will be liars. Some will be criminals, burglars, and all kinds of things which you and I know. But the Bible is saying that the day we give our life to Christ, Christ coming in those things should no longer be found in us. When they are found in us, that is the type of trade that the people were doing in the temple when Jesus entered. So, Bible says in Romans 6, 3 and 4 that we have been baptized into Christ's death. So, when you accept Christ, you are tasked, the next step to take to seal that package is baptism. May I therefore say tonight that if you are here and you believe in Christ and you are not yet baptized, you are doing yourself a harm, because your salvation, the package, is not complete. Because there are certain things that baptism does, other things singing worship will not do. Galatians 3:27 says that as many as have been baptized in Christ have put on Christ. So when we are baptized into him, we were putting on Christ as garment. This makes the temple painted, covered, decorated. And 1 Corinthians 6:20 says that we have been bought with price. In fact, it took heaven, the blood of Jesus, to buy us from the slavery market. If Jesus has not sacrificed himself, you and I would have been nowhere near the throne of grace. And we could have called unto the Lord. Even though Jeremiah 33 verse 3 says, God says, call unto me and I will answer, and I will reveal great and mighty things unto you. You will call, you have no answer because you are not recognized. Your voice cannot be recognized. So when Jesus was crucified, when the blood was shed, the curtains in the holiest of holy separated and torn into two, so that we can also see. That means we can now approach God without any a middleman as it used to be in the Old Testament. So as temple of God, we need to maintain that thing that has taken place. Jesus buying us means the atrocity, the unrighteousness, the filth, the unpleasant thing that has been going on in our body before we came to Christ has been cleansed, has been taken away, has been getting rid of. And when did this change happen? It happened only when there was an encounter with the Savior. So you see, you recollect that at the temple, the people were there. Nobody complained. We didn't see or hear anything that they stopped trading. But the day Jesus came and threw the situation or the activities overboard, there was a change. It was then that the lame came and they got healed. So in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, the verse 15-17, the Bible says that if anyone is in Christ, it's a new creation. Behold, all things are passed away. Now all things are made anew. So that encounter with Christ changes the temple. The day Jesus went into the temple and overthrew the things, the temples, things that were going on in the temple changed. No longer tracement, but then the Holy Spirit was at work, people getting their healing. So it is with us today, in your body and my body. If we encounter Jesus, the true Jesus, the immoral behavior, the criminal activities, the racism, the tribalistic behavior, the elbowing one another, the envy, the jealousy, the hatred, all kinds of things that does not glorify Jesus, Jesus has come to cleanse them, taking them away, getting rid of them. If that happens genuinely, truly, it paves way for the true Holy Spirit to come and dwell in us. It is only then that our body, which is the temple of the Holy Spirit, which is the bedroom of the Holy Spirit can come and have his peace and comfortability. And when he comes in that manner, he doesn't come to just sit. He comes to announce his presence by using every part of our body to the world. Because when we are bought with a price, every part of our body, including our fingers, our toes, our hair, they have all been bought. This is why when you are supposed to be baptized, every part of you need to go into the water. You can't say, no, I've just been to the saloon. So, Mr. Minister, as you want to baptize me today, I do not want my head to go into the river. If you do that, it means you are not baptized. Because the baptism is from Greek word meaning baptizo, to deep, to immerse, until fully covered. Then you are not fully covered. It means part of you is outside and part of you is inside. So when Jesus cleans, miracle happen. In our churches today, in our community today, there are friends, brothers, sisters who are sick, who are tired, who have been embalmed. Some are chained. The fault is not heaven's fault. The problem is there because you and I failed to be cleansed. We are still holding on to some of the filthy things that needs to be getting rid of. The hatred, the jealousy, the envy, the elbowing one another. If those things are there, How can the Holy Spirit work? The temple is us. It's our body. God wants to have his place. Every manufacturer works at his place. So when we were in the world, yielding to Satan, Satan was working in us and using us for his glory, doing things that were not necessary and pleasant. Now that we've been bought with Jesus, by the blood of Jesus, a new master has taken over control of our body, the temple, which is now the factory. He wants to do his own thing in us. So for our brothers, sisters, friends to be healed, to have comfort, to have help, the Spirit of God wants to come into us so that the gifts, the spiritual gifts, will fully be at work. But when we don't yield to the cleansing, it cannot happen. It cannot happen. The scripture tells us that Peter, Apostle Peter's shadow, healed the sick. Aprons and handkerchiefs touches Paul's body and was sent to the people. And when they laid it on the people, people got healed. These were men like us, flesh and blood. But because cleansing took place in them, and the Spirit of God baptized them, they were available for the masses used. If you and I would take a step today and allow the cleansing and allow the Lord to revisit us and baptize us, there will be a change. Because Peter, he was the one who even told lies that he didn't know Jesus. He denied. And he even began to call curse. But when genuine repentance took place, and the Spirit of God baptized him afresh, in Acts chapter 2, the verse 38 going, he confronted them and spoke to them that men and brethren, repent and be baptized, every one of you. You will see him physically, the same person from the betrayer, the same person here. But an inner change has taken place. People may see us the same, but there should be an inner change. We should get rid of those things that does not glorify God, the unpleasant things. Because the same God who made that person a man, the same God made the other also a woman. The same God who made that person tall, the same God made that person short. The same God who made that person white man or woman, he made that person black man or woman. Therefore, there shouldn't be any time, any point of time, as a genuine believer in Christ, to try to create racism, tribalism, or hatred, some sort of behavior. Some people will not speak, but their action speaks. Proverbs says some people even speak with their legs and their fingers. So you can see that we come to church and we believe and profess that we are Christians. But the eye contact, the way we do things, even though we don't call that person by name, we are in a way sending a clear message to that person that you are not wanted here, you are not needed here. But forget not, Revelation 5, 9 and 7, 9. In heaven, God is expecting people from all nations, all languages, all tribes. People who are tall, people who are short. men and women. So be careful, because if you don't like short people like me, your neighbor in heaven may be short. That will shock you. So be prepared, and it's better we change now. It's better we change our attitude now, so that God, the gifts, the spiritual gifts, are not something God has given us and he wants them back in heaven. He wants us to use them here. But they can only operate when the cleansing takes place and we allow the Spirit of God to sit in us, to iron us, and then prepare us and use us. Therefore, when you come, we come to church and gather and we are praising God. He said the house shall be called a house of prayer. Our body should be a house of prayer, a place where there should be praises, worship, thanksgiving. If you are here, since you become a Christian, and you never get up to sing praises to the Lord, I encourage you to change from tonight. Because your body is supposed to be a place of worship. Sing praise to the King of Kings, the Lord who bought you with his blood. Each and every one of us here, and anybody listening to my voice, I believe that Jesus' blood saves us so that God can use us. God is never in short supply of his Spirit, neither his gifts. The gifts, the skills, the talents are there. No one will copy yours. God will never counterfeit your gift in somebody else. He is the Lord. Is there anything too hard for him? He wants to heal. He wants to do miracles in our midst. But we are not ready. If you and I will change from tonight and allow the Spirit of God to sit in us, people who have long-standing chronic diseases, people who are heartbroken, people who Satan one way or the other have chained in any way, the Lord wants to use us. You see, we have what we call God's path and man's path. When Saul fell on the way of Damascus, he was to take a step, even though he was blinded. There is a path you must play. There is a path that an angel must play. There are parts God plays. God wants to use us to reach to fellow human beings, not sending angels to them. Are we ready? Tonight, we are God's temple. The Lord wants to take or have share in his temple. He so designed for a purpose. If you go to someone's house and there's a, I don't know whether it's, let's say if you go to a farm and there's a goat pen, that is designed for the goat. So you wouldn't see a cow going in. The Lord Almighty designed our body to be the dwelling place of his Spirit. Only his Spirit is allowed to dwell in. Shall we not take a better stand and approach from tonight and allow the Spirit of God a place in this temple God has given us? He designed so much. But mind, if you are here and you don't like your body and you say you're in the wrong body, may I say, may the Spirit of God touch you anew, because God is thinking well before giving you that body. Don't hate it. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 10, it said, we are God's craftsmanship, created unto Christ Jesus for good works, which God has prepared beforehand that we may walk in it. The Greek word in that craftsmanship is poema. That is the artistic poem that is on God's heart. So God wants to say something. I personally have never regretted or have never been to a situation where I feel awkward or ashamed that I'm short. I am very okay. I see people try to do things, even some say it, but let me tell you, brothers and sisters, because I understand why God created me short, why he brought me to this earth as a black boy. So I never regretted it. I will give him thanks always. And I therefore encourage you, if in any way you feel anything bad about yourself, please change your mind from tonight. God has a reason for creating you that way. The purpose must be fulfilled. His purpose for creating you that way and bringing you as his temple, only that must be fulfilled. That is what is important. Any other thing is not needed. God bless you in Jesus' name.